Good morning, church family. That's just kind of a little precursor as to some of the stuff we're going to get into today. We're getting to spend a lot of this morning focusing on our family here at Graham Street and the family ministry and the youth ministry and who we are as a church. And I hope that we don't have regrets in the things. I want us to be a church family that's looking forward. And if you were here this morning during the class time, knowing how important just the influence of presence is, and by being here and by being together in the things that we get to do. So this morning I want to take us through several announcements, bear with me, but a lot of these are great things that we have, things that are important, I want you guys to hear about. As always, hopefully as you're coming in, you grabbed a bulletin, lots of information in there. But in the bulletin, there are those QR codes that you can scan. It takes you to our website, where there's even more information on a lot of these things, since we can't get everything into the printed version. So make sure you grab one of those bulletins, and that you also are checking out our website and our Facebook page for lots of updates and upcoming events, things like that. I want to remind everybody about this Wednesday night for our next episode, Time of Living Faith. It's a great chance we have to grow and be cross-generational as a family here at Graham Street. So this Wednesday, 6 o'clock over in the Family Center, we encourage you to be there for that. No meal this week, so be prepared with that when you come. I know that either eat before or plan to eat afterwards, but we would love to have you there on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock in the Family Center. Here we go. Don't forget about the youth website, grahamstreetyouth.org. Lots of things on there as we're getting into the summer months now. Make sure you can check out the calendar that's there. Lots of events, things that are going on, things this week that are listed here in the bulletin as well, even right there on the front page. I want to go through a few of those real quick. Don't forget, Graham Street Youth Group today, basically once we get done with worship, you can head over around 11:45 to the Tri-C over on Tarleton Street. Bring your own lunch, but we will have ice cream afterwards, or if you don't want to eat lunch and you just want ice cream, go for it, but we'll be there and we'll just be hanging out doing some devos in a game this afternoon. So head over there around 11:45 after you grab your lunch after service today. Tuesday night devo, our next Tuesday night devo is Tuesday at 6:30. Location is still to be announced. We're going to have our spotlight on Jim and Cindy Holt for that one. They're hosting, but we're waiting to see how the weather holds up, if we're going to be outside or if we're going to be inside on that. So we will let you know by Tuesday morning so that we can get the latest info that we need to share where we will be on Tuesday night at 6:30. A couple of things, if you haven't gotten paperwork picked up yet or you haven't gotten them turned in, on the Welcome Center desk in the foyer, there are paperwork packets for Global Samaritan Service Trip, as well as for SCYC at Camp Bandina. Camp paperwork, I really need that as soon as possible. So if you haven't grabbed one of those, get one. Otherwise, you can go to scycbandina.com and you can print one out as well. Global Samaritan paperwork, I need that by next Sunday if you can. Payments don't have to come in at the same time as paperwork always, but it always helps out if you're able to do that. So those are available on that Welcome Center desk in the foyer. This is a change if you see what's in the bulletin. Our girls' night was originally scheduled for this Thursday, but we've moved that to Thursday, June 17th. Still same place, same time, 5:30 at the Copelands. This will be a neat chance for our young ladies to interact together. They'll have dinner devo and get to do some pottery. So if you have questions about that, see my wife, Nicole, and she'll get you clued in on that info. Also, you've got one more week to sign up if you want to go to the Rangers game on Monday, July 5th. You can scan that code right now from where you're at, and it'll take you to the online sign-up so that you can do that. We'd love for you guys to be there. That's for everybody. Youth group's kind of hosting it, but we want anybody that wants to come out to the new ballpark to come out and enjoy that with us. All right, got to throw out a couple of recognitions there in the front, just to the, what is it? Left of the trophy there. That's Tyler Tucker. So they had their, I guess it's a lineman challenge yesterday in Arlington, and this group right there got first in their division, so they get to move on and do the next level of competition in Abilene and here in just a couple of weeks. So congratulations to Tyler and our linemen on that. And also congratulations to Reese Elston and Corbin Poston and the entire Yellow Jacket baseball team on their regional championship. And they're headed to state this week. So they'll be playing Wednesday afternoon down in Austin. So keep them in your prayers. I know I'll probably get to see some of you guys there, so we're excited for them and this historical moment for Stephenville and getting to do this. So good job, guys. Way to go on that. We're really proud of you. One last thing I've got on here is, in case you weren't in class, you'll notice today during the sermon, we'll have a different face up here with us. And this guy, I don't know why I got stuck with having to introduce him, I guess, but Robert Oglesby is the director for the Center of Youth and Family Ministry at ACU, and he also works with the Seibert Institute, getting to do ministry support and all sorts of other things. He gets to consult with churches and help youth ministers like myself out and church leaders and some of the things that they get to go through and deal with. But at the same time, a lot of you guys don't know this, Robert was one of my youth ministers growing up. And he was one of my professors in college, and he's been a friend for all my years in ministry. So I'm excited that he's here this morning for you guys to share about us as a family and the things that we get to do in ministry. This morning, we'll start out in 1 Kings, and then David will come up to lead us in a prayer. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, and keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time.
Before I lead us in prayer, let me just say a couple of things. One about Robert. He's a great teacher, a great trainer. I have great respect for him. He's also an incredible guy to co-officiate in a wedding together. Those of you who know, and you probably know them better as Archie and Annie's parents, our daughter Angela and Danny. Danny was close friends, and I think he was also in your youth group, right? Danny was with Robert. Robert did that's part of the officiating of the wedding, and of course, Angela, my daughter, and so we co-officiated together, and it was a lot of fun. So I don't know if that makes you respect him more as a teacher or not. So I'm glad you're here, Robert. On a more serious note, although that was serious, I messed up, okay? I'll just tell you that. And I want you to be able to trust me and know that I will handle things like this better than what I handled this. Wainaima brought me a note during a worship service one morning, and I misunderstood what she wanted me to do with it. I basically took the information in my head and congratulated her on working through that, and I didn't say anything to the church, and I didn't realize that she wanted it read to the congregation. And so I failed her in that. I apologize to her, and I apologize to you as a church, because I think it's indicative that sometimes I get to moving so quickly on Sunday morning from one thing to another, and I don't listen like I should. And that's a failure on my part. And I want you to be able to trust that I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to take seriously what you say to me. So I apologize for that. I think we need to listen carefully to what Wainaima is saying to us, because this is more than just about her. This is about all of us and our ability to live up to this. So after I say this, then I'll pray. And I should have done this a couple of weeks ago. Wainaima said, I have hurt some people in this church, and I'm very, very sorry. I realize that when one person in the church hurts, all are hurt. And I'm asking your forgiveness. Would you bow with me, please? Father, I know there are many people for us to pray for. And you know their names before we could begin to even say them. And you know their hearts and you know their needs. And so that list that's in our bulletin, that list that's in our heads, in our hearts of people that we care about, you know them. But I want to be very specific in praying for Wainema right now. I want to ask, Father, that not only that she realizes you have forgiven her, but help her to understand that there are people that she has hurt that have forgiven her. And help her to forgive herself. I pray, Father, that after this prayer, she can be at peace with this. I am sorry that I did not act on this sooner to give her that peace. I ask, Father, that you will help me to be more observant to the needs of people that I listen to and do a better job of following through. And I ask, Father, for all of us in this church, because we desperately need this ability among us, that we're able to forgive each other, that we'll not hold things against one another, that we'll move forward and we'll be able to put those grievances behind us, and that we'll treat one another with the love and respect and honor that we deserve as your children in the body of Christ. This morning I ask for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Robert as he preaches to us. May we realize the depth in which we need to plunge in making our families totally committed to your cause. And help us to understand how the church unites in that effort. I pray, Father, as Taylor leads our singing, that it'll not be something that we just go through the tradition of doing, that the words that are before us and come on our lips will be from our hearts. And I pray, Father, when we leave this place today, we will be stronger in our commitment to you and better represent you in our community. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.
Good morning. Let's all be on our feet this morning as we start our worship together. This first song, I don't know, I think it's always a good reminder of all the reasons that we have to praise God. And I was thinking as I was preparing this week to lead you in singing, how many times over the last year as we went through COVID, I longed to be able to be in this place like we are this morning and be able to sing together in a room full of people praises to God. So of all the reasons that we have to bless God this morning, let's remember that this is one of them too. Let's sing out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. We sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. We sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. Please be seated.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, on and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Them forever he established, his decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons all, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beast and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, greaters, judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
For our next song, we'll sing it through three times. On the first one, we'll all sing together. The second time, I want to ask the ladies if you'll sing that verse, and we'll all join in on the chorus. And then the last time, we'll have our men sing, and then all join in on the chorus again.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy Lord. My heart I sing, great are you, Lord, worthy of praise, holy and true, great are you, Lord, most holy Lord, holy Lord, most holy. Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. O holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, most holy Lord.
Sorry. All right, if you'll bow with me, let's pray. God, we just thank you for this opportunity to get to be here together, to get to worship your name. And God, we have so many reasons to do that, so many things to be thankful for, so many things that we frankly just don't deserve that you give to us anyways. Most of all is your love, Lord. God, I pray that you'll continue to be with us this morning, continue to allow us to be filled with joy as we sing to you, be filled with thankfulness as we think of all that you've done for us, and be full of love, God, as we think about one another, and as we think about you, and as we think about your son. God, we have so many people around this time of year that travel, that are not here with us this morning for different reasons. We ask that you'll be with them, keep them safe, keep each of us safe as we go about our week this week. And ultimately, God, give us the courage to Continue to live out our faith each day. Continue to stand boldly for what we believe, for the truths that are in your word, God, for the convictions that we have that you've given to us. And God, I pray that we can do that in love and in kindness. God, we thank you for all that you do. Continue to be with us. Thank you for Jesus. And it's in his son's name we pray. Amen. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody, you are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords, you are the mighty God, you are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. This next song will be the song for our lesson. If you can, if you would stand during this next song. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due,
I stand in awe of you.
Please be seated.
Okay, it's great to be with you. I want to make a few things very clear right from the beginning. Number one, Wes was in my classes at ACU studying ministry, and I want you to know anything he does well, that was me. If there's anything you don't like about what he did, that was the day he fell asleep in class or was not taking notes. So just want to make that clear right off the bat. The Beardens I love and love intensely because of so many connections, and it was a wonderful thing to do a wedding with David. But let me tell you something. One, Wes is one of the most servant-hearted students I've ever had, and you're lucky to have him. But I'm telling you, what you just saw from David is exceptional. If you've ever read the words of Micah 6, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. You got two sermons today out of one event. You just saw a sermon. There are not many preachers that would get up and apologize like that sincerely. And so I want you to, once again, understand and know you have something exceptional among these guys that you have working with you. It's been a great morning. I love being with you, many of you in Bible class. Those of you who weren't there, I'm sorry you missed out. I almost got a standing ovation at the end of class. No pressure today, but I was good. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is what things we are trying to pass on to the next generation. How do we get that to happen? And I'm going to use a Bible story from the Old Testament that you may go, oh, I've heard that story before. But I want you to understand that this generation will choose to carry what it wants. You don't get to choose. You can make your case. You can teach. But bottom line is, your kids and your grandkids will make their choice on what to carry. I saw this principle when I took a group of teenagers backpacking. About 40 kids all backpacking up in the mountains of Colorado. We gave them a list of everything they need to have in their backpack. And they would take that list up there and they would have all the things on the list. And then it came time to put the pack on. And all of a sudden that pack was like, whoa, that was 45 pounds worth. I got to get rid of some of this stuff. And they begin to jettison different things out of the backpack. Some more important than others, such as there's a little asterisk beside rain gear when you're mountain, you know, up in the mountains. That's really important. Asterisk beside it. Some of my students from time to time would throw that out. And then we'd be up in the mountains crawling down around 14,000 feet and a hailstorm, wind, rain, it all hit. And they'd say, hey, everybody get out your rain gear. And everybody get it out except for my little knucklehead who decided to throw out his rain gear. I said, hey, where's your rain gear? It's too heavy. You're about to freeze. And someone would scramble around and get them something. But he made a choice. And your kids will make a choice. And you may not like it. But we're going to talk about the generation coming up. Now, I'm not too sure about this generation coming up. This generation, some have called it Generation Y, except with just a letter Y. Some now call it, they're now Generation Z. But I would say Generation Y, such as, why would the generation coming up ever think this was a good idea? That's pretty bad. Do not do this at home, kids. This is a bad idea. This will gross out your mother, and she will never give you another kiss the rest of your life. Or maybe this. And you ask the question once again, why would they think that's a good idea? Or maybe this. This caused panic in a mother's heart, doesn't it? No. I can see your hands just going, no, don't. But they might. Or how about this? Now, here we're talking about older people here. Who are we talking about? We're talking about dads. Dads that think this is a good idea. Where did these kids get the idea to kiss a pig? Where did they get the idea to put a frog in their mouth? I think I'm starting to see a trend here. Or this. And some of you men out there are already going, okay, that's how I can get that get thing done up on top of my house. Once again, men, do not try this at home. It's a bad idea. You'll notice that none of these pictures involve women. Say no more. Darwin principle all over again. We will remove some of the stupider things in our race across time. But I know most of you would love to parent and love to have your teenage youth group parented and taught like this, where we just put them on a wall, put some duct tape on them, and say, stay there till they're 18 and then release them. That's not going to work. That's not how it works best. And so we're going to have to figure out how did they do it in olden times and how do we need to do it today. One of the things that we are going to talk about is a story. It's a storyline that's pretty simple. You've heard it before. You've seen it on the flannel graph, all those things about the people going toward the promised land. It's a very simple story. Moses led them out of Egypt. He got them right to the shores of the Jordan River, and they got scared. And because they got scared, because they did not obey, because they did not have faith in the Lord above, he sent them on a journey for 40 years. And they wandered. And they wandered. And realized the scope of this area was not that big. You know, it'd have to be a group of people really not good with directions. Or they were led by a bunch of men who wouldn't stop and ask for directions. Am I right, ladies? I ain't going to ask directions. They love GPS now because they don't have to go in to ask directions. That's very unmanly for them. But we have a whole group, the children of Israel, wandering 40 years. And part of their wandering is, the Lord said, those who were there at that place, at the Jordan, will not be able to go in. You're going to die. But maybe your kids will get to go across. Maybe your kids, if they stand this test, if they pass it, then they'll get to go across on the other side and receive the promise that I promised you long before. Well, it says that Moses spent his time. Moses got him there, got him close, but Joshua's going to take over, and Joshua is about to give them some orders. But I want you to read into a little more of the storyline, and this doesn't come out in Scripture, but I have to let you know this, I think, happened in the tents. There were parents who regretted that decision to not cross over. And the question was, what will our kids do? Will our kids pass the test that we did not? So in the tents, don't you know that there were parents sitting in that tent with their kids as they grew up to say, Raheem, Rachel, listen, look. When you get back to the Jordan, you obey God. When you come back to the waters, whatever happens, you do what God says. Don't be like us. We were not faithful. Do not be afraid. Joshua talks about it all the time. Be courageous, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. And if you do, the Lord will bless you. Remember my words. Because not one of them was going to be there to say it in their kids' ear when those kids were back at the Jordan. And that's where the story picks up. And they came to Jordan. Joshua's in charge, and Joshua and all the people of Israel had lodged there before they passed over. The officers went through the camp, commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Pretty simple. Now, everybody knows that water's at flood stage. They've seen it. They heard it. And if you've been by a raging stream at flood water time, you hear the water going. I don't know if you've ever been to Niagara Falls. You can feel the water shake under your feet at Niagara. Well, they may not have felt the ground shake, but I tell you what, They heard that sound, and they're thinking, we're going across that. But he doesn't offer them many alternatives. Hey, we're going to have boats, or we're going to have a flotilla. He just says, you just follow that ark across. You follow in the steps of the priest. And one of the things that we are taught throughout Scripture, a basic theme is follow me. Jesus said it, you know, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He doesn't say what through. He doesn't say how. He just says, follow in my steps. I learned this lesson very early on in my own life when my father, who was the preacher at the church where my kindergarten was, would walk me to the kindergarten every morning, and it was about 3/4 of a mile to the kindergarten. I think that was, once again, child cruelty to make me walk that far. And it was probably uphill both ways, as I remember. But I remember walking behind my father. And we were going across busy streets in Dallas, Texas, and there were cars and traffic and all that stuff. But my dad would have these long strides, and I would try to, with my little legs, I would try to land where his feet were. And I would have to kind of jump to get right behind him. And you know what? I never looked up on the way to kindergarten. I never looked for a car. Why? Because I was following my father's steps. And if he was okay, I was okay. He wasn't going to let a car hit me. And if there was a car, he'd stop me and he'd put his hand out on my chest. And he'd say, whoa, 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 whoa. And then he'd start walking again. And I'd hop in those steps. So pretty simple, pretty straightforward. He comes to the next. He says one more direction. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, talking about the ark, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it. You know why. In order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. You're new. Leaders of the church, you got to lead. Church, you got to follow. We're going to follow God's teaching. So as they get up to this, we're just going to obey, and we may not understand. The kids may not even understood why you stand back away from the ark that far, but some other parents had told them about people touching the ark and bad things happening. And as they continue to just listen to the instructions, you start to see they're getting ready to move. And as they get ready to move, we're going to see a miracle. Now, we're real big into the miracles and all that stuff. They never made a movie about this particular deal. They did the Red Sea deal. Got Charlton Heston doing the Red Sea. No one's decided to make a movie of this, but it's a really cool story because it's a miracle in every way. So what happens? Now, the Jordan's at the flood stage all during the harvest, yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. Now, get that picture in your mind. Make the movie. You got a bunch of priests carrying the ark with those sticks in the side, and they're getting closer, and you can hear the conversation. You see the water slowing down? Nope. Slow down. And they get slower and slower. And they're getting to the river, and nothing's happening. God is not moving. And God makes them wait and wait. Have you ever had to wait on God? God wasn't going to show up because you sat there and go, I ain't moving. And I don't see God moving, so I'm just going to sit right here. It's not what you're called to do. You're called to follow the directions. Go to the river. And when that water is touched by a toe, it says that the water's edge from upstream stops flowing, and it piled up in a heap a great distance away. The priest who carried out the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground until the whole nation passed through it. Faith. A little bit of faith. We talk about in the Bible about mustard seed faith, a really tiny little seed that's going to grow something huge, massive. You don't see it. You don't know it. It's going to be there someday. But right now, all you got is that much faith in the right thing. Do you have not mustard seed faith? Do you have little toe faith? Do you have enough to step in the water and say, I'm going to trust God's going to show up? Has this church stepped out in faith during COVID? Do you have evidence that you have been able to put your toe in the water? Nothing grandiose. Just say, can we do something here that we could not possibly succeed at unless God shows up? I know a lot of churches that love to play it safe, and especially during COVID. Let's back up. Let's be safe, 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 safe. And they go so far backward, they ain't doing nothing. Let me tell you, if you want to get God's attention, show him little toe faith, and he shows up. That is what you've been called to. And churches do it different ways. I'm going to tell you about one, and you may hate this idea, and that's okay. I'm not asking you to do it. But we had someone in our church say one time in a Bible class, where would Jesus be today in this culture that we're in? And somebody said, I think he'd be in a bar trying to reach out to lost people who would not come inside our building. Well, it generated a little fire inside some of the people, and they started saying, well, why don't we start a church that's in a place that a bunch of sinners are? And that turned out to be a bar. Now, the bar's not going to be open while church is happening, but it's inside an actual bar. And elders looked at that and went, oh, I don't know. And they debated back and forth, and they said, we'll try it for 1 year. If it doesn't get better and really turn into something, then we'll shut it down. And you know, the minute they turned it on, you know how much criticism we got? Man, people came after us. There were people who didn't even know where Abilene, Texas is. They were calling about it and sending stuff on email that were nasty things. These are church people, not the heathens. These are church people coming after us. And we're just saying, we're trying to reach some people that wouldn't walk into this church or our church back at home. Well, it only started with about 20 people. And they showed up. And it was in a bar. There was a functioning bar at the other hours. But right then, it was a church service. And it was a holy place. Well, time went on. More people started coming. And more people started coming. And all of a sudden, the guy who owned the bar, he started saying, this is a really good thing. And all of a sudden, one night, he hears a siren out in the streets outside his house. And he starts thinking about someone who's leaving his bar might have had a wreck and it might have been his fault that they overserved someone. And he gets this conscience stricken in his heart. And he says, it's time to apply for my new liquor license. And he says, I'm not applying. I'm shutting the thing down. But I want this church to keep meeting there in my building. The Lord shut down one of the bars in Abilene, Texas. Go figure. And the minute they shut down the bar, that there was liquor around there, some other groups, there was a residence hall for battered women. They could start coming. There were a couple of AA halfway houses. They could come because there was no more alcohol on that spot. And all of a sudden, we were up to about 60 and 70 and 80 and 90. And a year later, there were 110 people attending bar church. Now, it wasn't a bar. Wasn't a bar anymore. We'd shut that bar down. It was a church, but they still called it bar church. I know it's not really classy and classic in any way, but people were being saved. And those people, they didn't have a baptistry at bar church, so they had to come to our church. And you know what? Those people didn't know how to act at our church. They were loud, and they smelled, and some of them had smoke. Whew! They were smoking in the parking lot, and then they'd come in, and man, our auditorium would smell like smoke, and it was a mess because ministry is a mess. And they'd get up in this baptistry, and they didn't know how to act because they hadn't been at your church. And so they'd be out there about to be baptized, and they're out there waving. And our people are like, ooh, makes us a little nervous. And then one day, I'll never forget this, one of the guys here, he had been Catholic in the past, and right before they baptized him, they said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he does this. And you could just see people thinking, you need to hold that one in a little bit longer. There's still a little Catholic hanging in there. We got to hold, hold, hold. Yeah, make sure it's going to take. And brought it back up. And it made our people uncomfortable. But you know what? I think God is pleased. And their prayer list, oh my goodness. Help me get off meth. Help me get my kids back from CPS. Help me this. Help me. They're confessing things that you would blush at. But you know what? That's what they do church-like. little toe faith. There are some people who you're going to be with in heaven. You may go, oh, they smell like smoke. They're going to be there with you because some people put in little toe faith. It's a truly interesting thing. Now, here's what I want you to get about the God part. Next generation, what's supposed to happen besides these people who are going across? Does God care? Does it matter to God if anybody remembers this one event? Here's next part of the scripture in chapter 4 of Joshua. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites. He said to them, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them that the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. These stones are to be a memorial forever. Do you see it? He's saying something great happened here. Faith showed up, little toe faith. And I want not just this generation to remember it. I want the next one to remember it. And I want you to stack those rocks up. I want you to leave it there. I want those kids to go, wonder why those rocks are over there. And when they ask that question, you answer that question. God showed up. We put our little toe in and God showed up. Does God care about the next generation? Absolutely. And he wanted to strategically tell this generation, you need to do something now that shows great faith that the next generation can go, oh yeah, that was great. And they need to create their own faith moment. A lot of churches are struggling right now with, are we going to exist? Can we continue on the way things are after COVID? And the answer is yes. But we got to allow our kids and encourage our kids to ask questions. Churches are not really good at questions. We don't like questions. We prefer having answers. We don't like hard questions. God says, let them ask questions. I want them to ask questions. I want them to know why you crossed that Jordan. I want you to know, I want that next generation to know exactly what it took to get here. And I want them to hear about their grandparents that did not make it, the failures. We can learn from failures too, generationally. But these parents, they made the right call, and I want it to continue on throughout time. So, we start seeing some messages. Intentional message that God has when God commands you march. But I don't know what he's asking. Be like the Abraham character. You're going to be moving. Where are we going? I'll tell you later. You don't always know what is next. You don't know what's next. I don't know what's next. We're all saying, we will follow you, God. Look for those open doors that God is opening for you already. Look for the ways in which God is saying, you have talents in this area. Use those talents for my mission. Second one, when faith appears, look for courage. Every one of us, you, me, everybody, we've been scared for a year. Scared we're going to have COVID. It is scary. We've lost some dear people. But Joshua would say, and the Lord would say, take courage. Take courage. Keep looking toward me. Remember, the mission is more important than the messenger. And God wants the next generation to know. He wants this church to teach and preach to the next generation. He wants this church to go on. There is a good reason why we're all here today. Our kids and our grandkids. I'm glad you're here, but you're probably already convinced. I remember we used to have these meetings where we talk about baptisms at our church, and me being a youth minister, I'd say, so-and-so was baptized at camp or this, and they'd go, oh, that's one of our kids. Like it was a gimme putt. Like, oh, of course they would. That is not the case anymore, folks. It's not a gimme. We have to be very strategic in saying, we're going to teach these kids. Kids are important in this church. And I love, there's all this little commotion here, little kids. In fact, there goes one little girl out the door. That's okay. I'm so glad. That's a great interruption. That's a great distraction. Because the kids, this is your church. It's not your church someday. It's your church today. I hated that at all senior graduations. You're the church of tomorrow. They will not be here tomorrow if you don't make them the church today. And that doesn't mean they put them in charge, but you involve them. You let them be a part of you. You say, you matter to us. And it's okay. You're going to get the wiggles during this guy teaching and preaching up here. That's okay. But listen, see if you get something out of what he says. Because this is your church. It's not just adult church. It's your church. And the things that you learn hopefully will help you long term. So watch me. And as I do faith and as I exhibit little toe faith, I hope you'll try some little toe faith in your young life. And if it doesn't work well, I'm going to be there to help walk with you. These things are huge. Now, as this all happened, there were a variety of little things that happened where other generations began to see and learn from what happened. There was a couple of tribes that got to that Jordan. He'd given them all these orders, and they said, the Reubenites and Gadites and half of Manasseh tribe say, we're going to sit right here. You know, we like it. We're going to stay on this side of the river. Y'all going across and conquer your promised land. And you know what Joshua did? He appointed a committee to study that a little bit. Is that what happened? You know what Joshua did? He said, oh, no, you don't. We're going. Mission of God is we're taking this place. We're going to take it. And then if you want to come back someday, that's fine. We'll let you do your little dream and your little goals. But right now, God said, we march. And so y'all are marching. You know what they did? They marched. Now, elders in the room, do you wish that would happen a little more today in these days and times instead of everyone saying, well, let's vote on this. Let's take a poll. Let's start another committee, which everybody knows the church needs many more committees. If we did committees and children of Israel, they would have never made it to the promised land. They'd still be studying it back in Egypt. Leadership is listening to God, praying for an answer, and saying, this is what I think God has called us to. And saying, we all move. The thing that's killing churches now is not that there's poor leadership, it's that there's poor followership. Because everybody's got their little thing. And we're, once again, COVID made us kind of hyper individuals. That our opinion is the most important opinion in the room. And we need some leaders saying, uh-uh. Mission of God is we're going this way. We're going to get very focused. We're going to go after this hard. The way we've tried to do it at our church, we said the area within 3 miles of our church building is our mission field. And that includes that little bar church. But we're going to hone in on the schools and the apartment complexes. We're praying for streets of people saying, what can we pray about for you on your street? Because we're trying to tell them, we're here. And we're here for you, and we hope you'll meet God at our place. We have a playground sitting outside our building, and we have people from all walks of life coming to that little playground. And every time we go, we're asking people, do you go to church? If not, this is a great place. You ought to try us out. Because it's within 3 miles of our building. So we're honed in. We're focused. A lot of churches kind of, we're trying to do a little this, a little that. Man, we know. If it's happening within 3 miles, which we do stuff across the waters and all that stuff in foreign countries, but we're saying to our members, your job, my job, your job is we're going to minister to these people close. We're not going to just put some money in the collection plate. We are going to focus in and hone in on these people. And we're going to bless them. We're going to send stuff to school teachers to encourage them at this tough year. We're going to send stuff to kids. We have a crew that goes to a school, and all they do is fist bump kids on the way in the school hallway. At the front door. They don't even go inside the school. They're outside. And they're doing that to kids who need encouragement to start their day at school. In the name of Jesus. Because it's within 3 miles. Hone in. Focus. We've got to teach the whole gospel. We're going to make some mistakes. That's okay. Our movement has made some pretty bad mistakes with racism. We've made some mistakes in not preaching grace. We've made some mistakes in making people feel saved but barely saved. We've made some mistakes on thinking, making people think we can earn our way to heaven by ourselves. We need to repent of that. and we need to teach our kids better. And they can learn from our mistakes, and we need to admit those, just like David modeled this morning. The thing I'm going to leave you with today, church, is have they seen evidence of faith? Have you done something in your individual life, parents, and collectively the family of God at this place? Have you done anything that you know God had to be involved or it wouldn't work? Have you done something remarkable that you need to stack up some stones about? If y'all are basketball fans at all, you saw some memorable moments this year, one of which was a little team called ACU beating the University of Texas at the Big Dance. I teach a bunch of those boys, including Mr. 7-foot tall center. I had a blast. I was jumping through the roof at my house watching them win that game over UT. Sorry, any of those of you folks from UT. And you know that dude on the sideline who was doing that the whole time? They called him the one-man mob gang. He was in my class this semester, past one. I've got a T-shirt with him doing this right here. And I loved it. And it was memorable. And I will never for the rest of my life forget seeing that moment of little ACU beating the University of Texas. And one of the guards, his name was Reggie Miller. You may remember, not that Reggie Miller, but the little one. He's going up against guys who are 6'8". And I'm going, how did you get that ball through? I don't know. I just threw it up. Just threw it up. And Reggie is my size. In fact, I think I'm bigger than Reggie. And skinny, oh, that boy is skinny. He was going to get killed. He was having guys on him who were 6'6", 6'8", all that. Now, old Reggie, man, he's right in my zone right at 5'10". But he got the ball in the hoop. He ran the game wonderfully, incredibly. And I will always remember him looking up at the rafters. I got a picture of it. And the confetti falling to the ground. I want to remember that forever. And I don't know if you've ever had any incident like maybe the dream of someday your baseball team going to the state playoffs. That would be so neat if that actually happened. I know it did. And if they win, you need to stack up some rocks somewhere and go, we're going to remember this forever. But most importantly, can we stack up some rocks for things that show faith as a church? Are we willing to take a risk and put some little toe faith and see what God does and have something that says, this was a marker moment for our family, for our church family. We need to remember this forever. If that's not popping into your head, we need to do some work, folks. We need to be asking the Lord, hey, give us the faith. Give us just a little bit of faith in the right thing and we'll do it. This whole generation is asking a lot of questions, and I hope we have some good answers for them because they deserve answers. They deserve to see us do some incredible things. Most importantly, incredible things with God. The mission of every church is that it's going to continue on in the next generation. Whatever it takes. And I know some things they want to do may drive you crazy. We're going to have to be more flexible than we ever have. But I'll ask some grandparents every once in a while to get kind of twisted or about something the teenagers are doing at a church, and I'll say, what would you do for your grandkid? How much do you love them? And they'd say, oh, I would die for them. And they would. I said, if that's true, will you allow them to do a few things every once in a while that feel a little uncomfortable? That feel, man, we're really stepping out in faith here with these kids? And show them that God is their God and He does mighty things through a little bit of faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this story. I thank you for this church. And I pray, Lord, that you will give them faith and give them the ability to truly reach out to those around them, to be uncomfortable at times, to look for things that seem so big that they need you desperately. And Father, for those that may need prayer or may want to make a decision for you, I pray that you'll give them the faith to take that step out and to do those things. We pray all these things together in your name. Amen. Do we offer an invitation on this song? Yeah, you let's stand.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you. Lord, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you. Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you, thank you, and I thank you, thank you, oh, and I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you. Thank you.
Please be seated. This next song will prepare our minds and hearts for the Lord's Supper.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here, he breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though once he meets us here, in the breaking of the bread, we'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us to come together and worship you, and for this time that we've set aside to go back to the scene of the cross and remember the true sacrifice that was given for us. Lord, I pray that as we partake of this bread, which represents your body, that we go back to the scene of the cross and clear our minds of all the worldly things and just focus on you and examine ourselves and partake in a way that pleases you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Dear God, as we continue our remembrance of you and what you've done for us to send your only Son to die for our sins, Lord, we just pray that you just help us to, again, just focus on the cross and remember that this cup represents the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. Just help us to, again, reflect on that, reflect on our lives, and just remember what was given for us, the ultimate sacrifice for all sin. And God, we just thank you so much for that. Just help us partake of this cup, which again represents the blood that was shed for us. Help us to do that in a way that pleases you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
I want to thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you, Robert, for being with us and for your words that you shared. And thank you all for singing out this morning. It's always, every time I get to lead you in worship, it's an honor. We're going to sing one last song, and then we'll have one of our shepherds come and close us out. If you would be standing for this last song, I'll try to get us started and then let our ladies kind of carry us here.
Love one another, for love is of God.
He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who has not love does not know God.
want to thank everybody for being here today. Your presence blesses all of us. Robert, thank you for being here from ACU and all the work you do out there, and thank you for coming and speaking to us. I will say we appreciate the work that Abilene does, and we appreciate what Abilene did to help UT get a new coach, so appreciate that. Inside joke. Thank you for everybody for being here. Want to recognize Frankie Knapp is here today. So if you hadn't got by to see Frankie, stop by and say hi to her. She hasn't been out for 15 months, and so it's great for her to be back at church, and we're glad she could come here today. Some other announcement. I'm going to make a quick announcement about the Tuesday night thing. The deal with that is that we're hosting that, but it's out at our farm, and it's kind of primitive in terms of what we're going to do. And so if it rains, we can't cook hot dogs outside. So we're going to watch that and make sure everybody can get in. And so some things to think about: bring a lawn chair, bring your mosquito spray, and use the restroom before you come. There are no facilities. All right? Anyway, so just heads up that we'll get the word out. Be paying attention for the emails on that. Parents, we'd love to have y'all too, so just think of that. One reminder, based on what Robert told us, you know, we have great opportunities here. Y'all don't have to remember back too far that we didn't have the volume of kids that we have now in the lower grades. You know, we've seen small classes. We've seen, and recently we've been seeing nurseries where it's like, oh, we're out of seats. Okay, that's a good problem. You know, we got kids in the middle grades that are doing wonderful things. Classrooms are larger there too. We got high school kids doing things. We have great opportunity at the university here. So we have opportunities all the way around. So just remember that. Something to think about. We all know what the fruit of the Spirit are, you know, in Galatians 5. You know, we talk about love, peace, faith, all those things. One of those words is actually patience, you know, and some of your versions say long-bearing, forbearance, or something like that. But there is a part of patience that has tolerance in it. You know, we have to be tolerant with things that we aren't used to, and those give us opportunities to stretch and stretch toward being the Christians we need to be. So just remember those, and thank you for all the work you do. Let's go to word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the opportunities you put before us to serve you and to spread your word. Help us to be servants. Help us to reach out to the senior adults that we have. Help us in another Wednesday night that we will go do some service projects for some of those. Thank you for our ability this Wednesday night to honor them and as we meet. Dear Father, thank you for them. Thank you for the examples they give for us and the experience they have to share with us. Dear Father, help our young ones to learn and to help us to be showing them the right path and be the ones leading them as they continue to mature their faith and learn how to be adults serving you. Dear Father, thank you for everything you do. Help us as we work here with the basic needs and passing out food and helping with clothing and those sorts of things. Thank you for the Celebrate Recovery opportunities that we have to serve you. Help us to find those opportunities and share our faith with the community here. With all these things, thank you for that, and thank you for us as we go through the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.